And God says that if you give this sacrifice of praise, you begin to understand what worship is all about. And notice, if you would, in verse number 15 of Hebrews 13 there, it says, we do that through Him. Who is the Him? It's Jesus Christ. The only way that I can go to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I can't go to God. I can't enter His presence. I can't stand before Him and in my own merits or in my own goodness or the fact that I've been baptized or my church membership or that I'm a good person. I stand before Him because I have trusted in Jesus Christ, and Him alone is the only way that I can go to heaven. That's why He came to die for us. And by putting my trust in Him, I say, thank God that I'm going to heaven. And by the way, that gives me reason to praise Him. And God gives us, through the sacrifice of His Son, the privilege to give praise to God. And now I can approach Him through the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Psalmist says it like this, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 43:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. I will tell you this, when we begin to praise God, our attitudes will begin to change. Things will begin to change in our life. Really, to be honest with you, these addictions will cease to be as much of addiction and importance to me as God and my relationship with Him. You see, that's what it's about. It's lifestyle choices. You know, we chose this morning when we came in here how we would come to church. I chose how I came. I could come here in the molly grubs and be down and be angry and be bitter and not speak to anybody. Or I could come here with an attitude of, hey, what? I'm going to praise God. I was praising God this morning before I got here. Amen. I'm just thankful to God that He saved me. Amen. I'm glad I woke up another day. And I'm going to tell you, I put my face in the book. I didn't check Facebook. Amen and amen. Why do you want to go in there and hear all that gossip anyway? Amen? Look, I checked the Bible. Check in with God. I'm going to tell you the sacrifice of praise. Second of all, sacrifice of thanksgiving. See, that's the upward dimension. Man, when I start being thankful to God, eternally thankful, I mean, just thankful, boy, my attitude will begin to change. You know, it's so strange. But God says that this first dimension upward is the sacrifice of praise, and then it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And honestly, you know, for me, I don't quite understand the passage. Because when I look at it, I'm thinking of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. To me, I would think that would be something that would be normal. Notice the quote, Andrew, you go back to that quote. I know you were kind of waiting on that quote. Happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Thank God. I mean, we ought to thank Him for everything. And you know, I guess I don't understand the idea of sacrifice of thanksgiving. To me, it should be a natural thing. I mean, if somebody gave me something as special and wonderful and eternal as salvation, I would think it'd be natural for me to say thank you every day. Amen. But God knows we become selfish. We get over our salvation, I guess, if you would. We get over the fact we're Christians. We get over the fact we trusted Him. And so now we live selfishly. God, give me this, give me that. Now I'm your child. Give me this, give me that. God, you know you're good. I need to take care of all that. You need this, I need that. And God says, oh, sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Learn to have an attitude of gratitude, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But some modern worship says, God owes me. The idea is God owes me. The Bible says that we worship God by grace. Thank God for His grace. Amen. So worship obviously starts with God upward. It's an upward dimension. That is that I recognize that I'm to go upward. But notice in Hebrews chapter 13, please. Look verse number 15. The Bible says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And continue, that is, and by the way, notice the continually. That means every day, all the time, everywhere, in every place, in every situation, I'm to continually praise God and give thanks to God. But look at verse 16, it says, but to do good. That's the second part of it. To do good. This is the inward dimension. This means that I'm to do good. And it starts with the heart. Can I get you to go to Ephesians chapter 5, please? We're going to look at a couple passages in this connection. Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, the Bible speaks of this in light of what's in our heart. Because I must tell you this, when you trusted Christ as Savior, God should have changed your life on the inside out. You know that when I got saved, God changed me from the inside out. He started with my heart. When He changed my heart, then He changed my desires. Everything changed. In fact, the Bible has a real clear verse on it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change. Verse 8 speaks of the change. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here it is. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is. There's the word, the key word. I said there are two key words, giving and acceptable. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So what it means then is that for me as a believer, that what I'm doing is I'm letting God work inside my life and the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in my life as I yield to Him and I'm yielding to Him. He's guiding me. He's changing my life so that when I live my life from the inside out, that what it means is simply this, that I'm going to do that which is acceptable to God by my life. So true worship then must be the overflowing work of the Holy Spirit in my life. In fact, we find that not only here, but in other places. Jesus. You guys remember when Jesus rose from the dead and He went and He preached to two men on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says? Here's what it says. In Luke chapter 24, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture? In other words, as the Holy Spirit of God begins to fill your heart, as it begins to work in your life, as it begins to just kind of touch you and show you from the inside, worship just comes out. And I'll tell you, the other day this week, man, I've been reading some great stuff. The Bible's great, you know that? And the Lord showed me a verse. And I've been meditating on that verse all week. And I tell you, I get so excited sometimes that I just really, literally just want to go out and shout and run up down the streets. My neighbors would probably have me arrested. But I mean, it's just wonderful to know how good God is. Well, I'll tell you, when your heart burns on the inside, you can't help but want to worship God and do that which is pleasing to God. And you wouldn't dare think of doing something that would dishonor God or defame His name or ruin His holiness or tear down His character. Because what's going to happen is God's working your life and God's shaping you and changing you and molding you and shaping you just like it was when you first started eating chocolate. And then you go home and you eat another bite. You go home and eat another bite. Lunchtime comes. You break open the chips. One chip. You eat it all day. Then you say, ah, forget it. I'm just going to eat them all right now. And honestly, when you get addicted to God, that's the way it works in your life. Man, you just can't help but have more God. Now look, I'm not talking about coming to the church, sitting around, and all of us holding hands and singing Kumbaya. I'm talking about your life. Amen. Worship is not some place you go to. It's your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm all about corporate worship. But we've been dealing these first 2 weeks with what we call individual worship. But I will tell you this. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't individually worship God, more than likely I'll never see you at corporate worship at all. Because what happens is, I've learned this. If a person has a daily time with God where they're worshiping God and they're loving God and He's working their life and then their heart, when church time comes around, it's not like a chore, it's a privilege. And I feel sorry for the people that the only worship they get is when they come here and we all just sit around and hear the message and sing the songs, and that's all they get because it's not enough. Kind of like going to the donut shop to fill in satisfying the hungry in your soul or in your body. Maybe you get hungry, go by the donut shop, meet a donut, but you know what happens with a donut? It empties out real quick. Corporate worship is like that. Fulfilling worship is when you come individually to God and then you overflow. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying church. I'm not demeaning the importance of church. I'm simply saying individual worship becomes the most important part of the corporate worship. That's what I'm trying to say. You guys with me? God is saying to us that we need to do that, that we understand that, that we can have a pleasing walk. And then second of all, that 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, can we go there very quickly? Remember, we're looking for key words. Give and acceptable. Giving and acceptable. Look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice the key word, godliness and honesty. For this, verse 3, is good, and what's the next word? Acceptable in the sight of God. Our Savior. You know what God says? Inward dimension, not only is a pleasing walk, but it's a peaceful life. Is your life in, like, uproar? Do you find yourself, you're just like, man, I just wish I could have some peace. If I could just run away to a lake and just forget about everything. You know, God says the secret to that is right here, praying for those in authority. Praying. Pray for those. But the secret also is being an honest and godly. When you do that, life becomes peaceful. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's without challenges or difficulties, because all you do is read the men in the Bible, you'll find they had challenges and difficulties. But in the midst of the challenges and difficulties, there's an inner peace that God is being honored in with my life. That's what God says. You see, God wants us inwardly to know that we're connected with Him, that we have a peaceful life. How many people said to me, boy, I just need a peaceful life. And here's what some people wrongly think. They think that if they don't work, they have peace. Let me get to retirement, I'll have peace, right? You see, peace is not what's going on around you, it's what's within you. It's what's on the inside. It's what you're dealing with. It's who you're worshiping. Addicts wish they had peace from their drugs or from the other things that they have chosen to be a part of their life. How many times have people said, pray that I'll have peace in my heart? Let me say one real quick thing, and this really is more personal than it is for you, but you would be amazed of how many people in our community come to me and say, Pastor, will you pray for us? I'm talking about officers, firefighters, politicians. I'm talking about people who we would call our authority in this community. I'm not talking about Washington, D.C. I'm talking about right here in Solano County. I mean, I could call off a list of names and that wouldn't be really fair to them, but I could call off a whole list of names and you're all like, wow, those are who's who in our community. Absolutely. I'm talking about people with big money. I'm talking about people, a lot of people, and I know them, and they tell me, and they come to me, and you know what the one thing, I would say, is there anything I can do for you? Here's what they always say, pray for me. Pray for me. Do you realize that God is pleased with that when we do? God says it's acceptable worship. You see, prayer ought to be a lifestyle. How many of you agree with that? Amen. Are you with me? But then there's one more. There's the outward. There's the outward dimension. I don't want to forget that, and I must hurry. I know I'm short on time, and I'll basically just read the point, but here's what it is. There's within this outward dimension, there's that relationship issue that you and I deal with. There's kindness toward fellow believers. We should be kind. We don't have reserved seating in here. That means if someone sits in your seat, be kind. It's not yours anyway, it's God's. Just want to remind you that. Okay? Someone takes your parking spot, it's not yours, it's God's. In fact, within life, we just need to be kind to fellow believers. I mean, understand that worship is seen as we treat other people and other believers. As we pray for them and show respect to them, this is acceptable worship to the Lord. For the Bible said in Romans chapter 14, verse 8, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Speaking of how we treat fellow believers. Evangelism toward those who were without Christ, telling others about Christ. The Bible said that's acceptable worship. He says that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, 16. And then thirdly, there's the compassion toward needy people. There's a lot of people that are in need. Give them some time when you can. We can't feed everybody, clothe everybody, give everybody everything. We can't be impossible, but we could do some things. Let's not forget to help them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul speaks of those who helped him when he was in need. He says, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent to me from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What about your lifestyle? Do you have a lifestyle of worshiping God? It's there in the Bible. It's not a place we go to. It's how we live. I was standing in a restaurant one day. There was a guy in the line in front of me, big guy. Of course, for me, everybody's big. Okay. But he's standing in front of me, and he had on a vest, a leather vest, jeans, big cowboy boots, bolo tie, huge Texas-size cowboy hat. And we were waiting. And he turned and we started talking, you know. And I said, oh, you're from Texas. And he said, no, I'm not, but I want to be. That was his words. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, great. He said, why? He said, I love everything about Texas. Kevin and Amy, you guys can kind of relate to this, amen. And he said, I love everything about Texas. I love the music. I love the dress. And he said, in fact, I'm going to tell you something. This is my lifestyle. This is how I dress every day. I said, you mean you don't have any other clothes? But that's it. That's how I dress every day. I said, you even go to bed like that? I was just teasing, you know. He says, no, but I get in my cowboy bed sheets. And my cowboy, you know, quilt. And I crawl underneath on my cowboy, pillow and everything. I mean, he's into it. That's his lifestyle. I met some people that are so much like that about other things. Like, there are some people that are that way. They're so addicted to Aeropostale or whatever that is. What is that? I mean, they've got the Aeropostale. Is it Aeropostale? Is that right? Is that right? You guys know what I'm talking about. They got the shoes. They got the shirt. They got the hat. They got the this. They got the that. I mean, when you look at them, Aeropostale, that's their lifestyle. There are some people that are Raider fans. They call it Raider Nation. I mean, they got Raider everything, don't they? You go out and look at their car, you say, those are Raider people. We got Raider hat, Raider jersey, Raider shoes, Raider everything. Black and silver, that's the way it is. Then there's people that do other things. They've adopted a lifestyle by choice. Now let me ask you a question. Why don't you adopt the lifestyle by choice to worship God? Amen. Stop thinking you come to a church, this is worship. Then you leave, it's not. That's the reason why we have too many Sunday go to meeting Christians. That's all they do. They live the rest of the world, the rest of the week like the rest of the world. They know nothing of what it means to live the Christian life every day. Because they think, oh, I worship God on Sunday. We ought to worship God all the time. All the time. Not just Sunday. And what God is saying to us is just like the Raider fan or the Aeropostale group or anybody else or the Facebook crowd or whatever the case is, why don't we get addicted to God and worship Him every day? Why don't that become our lifestyle? Why don't we walk in such a way that we're pleasing to Him? Why don't we decide right now that worshiping God is not a spiritual exercise I do on Sunday, but it's something that I have adopted as my highest occupation every day of my life. Today, will you make Him the object of your addiction? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I know that it's so easy for us to adopt the things in this world that we can become addicted to. We make choices by our lifestyles. It's easy for us to make the choice that this is what I want my life to be. Lord, I pray today that every person in this room will make the choice that they let God become the object of their worship. You, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'll forgive us where we don't. Forgive us where we failed you. Lord,